This morning we have Ron Brown with us that's going to bring the message to us. He's been a missionary in China for several years, and he's been doing a marvelous work there. He heads up that part of the work over there, and he gave us a brief outlay of it this morning, and he's been doing a great work for several years. His wife, Pat, is with him this morning. We're glad to have her. So Ron is going to bring us the lesson from God's Word this morning, and we're so happy to have him here. We welcome Ron.
Thank you. It's a privilege to be with you this morning and have an opportunity to worship with you. You know, we listen to the news, and we listen to the reports that we hear. We read the newspapers. And there's the talk of war. And we always hear talk of war. And there's a conflict that's going on, though, that is even closer to us than it is in the news, because it's in our lives and we're living it every day. The conflict with us and the world. And that's a conflict, a war, that we're much closer to than a conflict that I'll probably fly pretty close to it in about a week and a half. I'll be flying up across Canada, across Alaska, across the Aleutian Islands, down into Russia, and then down to Tokyo. I'll be in Tokyo a few hours, and then I'll fly to Hong Kong. That's getting a little close to where they're talking about some pretty dangerous stuff. That's not near as dangerous as the war that's going on right now in me and in you. There's a conflict between you and the world. There's a conflict between me and the world. And that conflict never ceases. It continues. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, in Romans chapter 7, talks about it. And he finally comes down to the end of the chapter. He says, "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" Of course, the only hope that he has is Jesus Christ to deliver him. That's the only hope that we have in this conflict with the world. And it's not going away anytime. It has existed forever. So we must find a way to deal with a conflict between us and the world. Go to the next slide. When we think about the conflict between us and the world, if Jesus were here living, and of course, he experienced the conflict, but he was sinless. The world never was able to get to him. He lived a sinless life. But if he were here today, if he were here in this audience, would the world consider him radical? Yes, most definitely. He'd be considered very radical. In his ideas, in his beliefs, in what he taught, the world couldn't accept it. Today, probably not any better than it did in the day that he did deliver his message, that he did talk about his gospel, that he talked about a kingdom that would come. There are many scriptures that we could go to and look at and make reference to in reference to us and our relation to the world. If we go and we look at James chapter 4 and verse 4, for example, it said, "Ye adulteresses," and it's not talking about physical, it's talking about spiritual. "Do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever would make himself a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." Well, right there, James is telling us that there has to be a very distinct difference between the Christian and the world, and that we, as Christians, cannot be friends with the world. We have no part of being friends with the world. We have no way that we can be a friend with the world and a friend of God. The two are diametrically opposed to each other. Okay, go to another scripture. This time we're going to go to 2 John. Go to chapter 15, or verse 15 of chapter 2. 1 John. In this scripture, he says, Do you not know that if you love the world, you cannot love the Father? That's right. If you love one, you can't love the other one. And it reminds me of the scripture where it says, no man can serve two masters. That's right. We cannot serve two masters. If you turn the page, you might not even have to turn the page. You look on the next page to chapter 3 and verse 13. And it says, do not be surprised, brethren, if the world hates you. What? We're to be hated by the world? I think that's what he said. He said, don't even be surprised if the world hates you. Probably the longest prayer that Jesus prayed that is recorded in the scriptures is found in John chapter 17. We come down to verse 13 of that particular prayer that Jesus is praying. And he's talking about his apostles and his disciples in that particular scripture. And he's praying to God. And in that prayer, he prays for us. He said, I have given them, referring to the apostles and his disciples, your word. And the world hates them because they are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. He's saying, world's going to hate you because of what? Because of my word. Because of the words of Christ. And look at this next slide. The religious leaders of that day, the people that were supposed to be the leaders of the Jewish people, what did he say about them? He called them some pretty harsh names. Why did he call them such harsh names? They were of the world. Even though they had the title of being the religious leaders of that day and time, they were of the world. The priests were the richest people in the areas where they were having a synagogue or where the temple was located, because they were receiving money every day, much like a bribe, almost. They made money when things were sold in the temple. They were of the world. They were not of religion. They were of the world. But what would Jesus say about us? Go to the next slide. Could he say today, and we might say it's a little harsh, that sometimes we're materialistic, we're selfish, we're worldly, we're unholy, we're uncaring? Those are descriptions of the world. That's what they are, descriptions of the world. We've already seen from the scriptures that we cannot be a part of it. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. That's right. Take up your cross and follow me. If you would save your life, you will lose it. And if you lose your life for my sake, you will find it. We have to give up the world and many things in the world in order to be followers of Jesus Christ. And to be faithful to his call. And many people are not willing to give up. Many people want to think that they can keep one foot in the church and one foot in the world. That's not possible. Go to the next slide. Have we come into this world to use things and love people, or have we come into this world to use people and love things? No, that's a question each one need to answer. Do we love people? And do we use things? Or do we love things, materialism, and use people? You see, that's what the world says. The world says, use people. And gain as much in life as you possibly can in material possessions, prestige, honor. That's what's important. Go to the next slide. What does it mean to be of the world? But if you turn into the scriptures, you turn to Romans chapter 1, you kind of get an idea of what it means to be a part of the world. And there are many other scriptures that we could look at. We could read a lot of scriptures that give a description of what it means to be a part of the world. Go to the next slide. But we cannot be, because God says, I am holy, therefore you are to be holy. We are to be a holy people. That means we're to be distinct and set apart and different from the world. Very distinct and very different. To the point of being radical, to the point of being hated by the world. Are you hated by the world? I think we are. If we are living the Christian life, and if we are separated ourselves, if we made a clean cut with the world will hate us. Go to the next slide. Questions for us. Continue. Is this action and this attitude supported by Scripture? What are we doing? Does the Scripture support it? Go to the next one. Will this help me to trust God, love His promise more faithfully? Our actions are things that we do every day. Go to the next one. Will this action help me reduce, block my relationship with Jesus? Next. Am I following God's will and His plan for me? Next one. Will this action and this attitude help me to focus more on others and less upon myself, because the world is focusing itself upon self? Next one. If Jesus were standing next to me, would I say and would I do this? Continue. We must be so different from the world that the world will hate us. Well, if we're going to be so different from the world that the world hates us, I think we need to determine what it means to be a part of the world. Go to the next slide. If the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you. You see very plainly why we are to be hated. Now, if the world hates us, that doesn't mean that we hate people in the world. You know, I can hate a person's actions, but I can love the person, and you can too. And we must love their souls, and we must do everything in our power to save their souls. But we can hate their actions. Go to the next slide. Look at the difference there between what the world views and what the Christian view. They're very opposite of each other. See, the Christian says reduce your sense of self. But the world says improve your sense of self. The world says the Christian says true knowledge is from God. But the world says knowledge is from human thought. It reminds me of what was said back in Judges. Judges chapter 17 and verse 6. It says in this particular scripture very plainly that we are not to have a part of knowing God's word. Because it said, ignoring God's word. Because it said in that scripture, every man did that which he felt was right in his own sight. And that's what the world says. Human thought, if it's all right in your mind, and it's okay, and it feels good, it's all right. That's what the world says. But God says, no. Truth is not relative. Truth is absolute. Getting ahead is losing self. No, the world says getting ahead is money and power. Narrow is the way to heaven. No, the world says wide tolerance. If you want to marry somebody of the same sex, I have to be tolerant to you. I have to accept you. And you're okay. Serve others first. No, the world says serve yourself first. Jesus makes you good. No, the world says good deeds make you good. The two are diametrically opposed to each other. And you can't be a part of one and a part of the other. You cannot pick and choose which side you're going to be on. Go to the next one. Jesus was so radical that it cost him his life. Now, when he was warning his apostles, and you know what made the difference, what made the world hate them? God's word. That's right. And God's word is what will make the world hate us today. They will not like God's word. So the world comes along and says, and it said it very vividly in the last election. In the last election, it said, abortion is good and okay. Murder of unborn children is no problem. That's what it said. It said gay marriage is okay. That's what the world said. And the majority of a lot of people of the United States today believe and accept this. And on the different things that the world says, it's all right. But you and I are going to follow God's word. And we know that God's word says, no, it is not all right. It is not right. And we as Christians have to be so different and so radical that we are hated by the world. And as he said in there, John said, don't be surprised if the world hates you. The world has a reason for hating us because we are radical and we are different. And we are not like the world, and we do not have the same standards as of the world. And you know, it hurts. It hurts me a lot. To see the nation that I was born in, the nation that I have lived in, except when I lived outside the United States, which has been a good many years. To see my nation, my country, my home country, going down the tubes. It hurts. Why? Because our founding fathers founded our nation upon the principles of God, upon that which was right and that which was good. But our nation has voted and decided those principles are no good. And it should hurt you. And therefore, we must stand up and be counted and know that we are radical and we are influencing the world today, and the world is not influencing us. Because when I go to some churches, I see that the world has come into the church and the world is influencing the church. Do you know that there are Christians that believe that gay marriage is okay? There are Christians who believe that abortion is all right. And I ask the question, how can a Christian believe something that is diametrically opposed to the Word of God? He cannot. Go to the next slide. Two of the saddest scriptures that you can find in the whole Bible, in my opinion. They're sad because God in his infinite wisdom knew from the very beginning of time that man was man and that man would not follow him as a mass majority. And when I think about, and most of my figures that I know are about China. 300,000 people die in China every year. 300,000 people go into eternity unprepared to meet God. When you take away God, you take away morality, you take away ethics, you take away honesty, you take away integrity. They don't exist. And you have a corrupt society and a government that is corrupt to the core in China. But here's the thing that bothers me worse about it. We're running a very close second. And that is very disturbing. The scripture there in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. Enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And here's the sad part. Many are they that go through it. Many. But then he said, small is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life. And how many go through that gate? Few there are who find it. Because you see, that narrow way is going to be very restrictive. It's going to be requiring some sacrifice. It's going to require giving up things in life. It's going to require taking a stand for God. And there are many people that just are not going to do that. And God knew it from the very beginning. And that's the reason I list that second scripture as one that is also very sad, because it says, if it is difficult for the righteous to be saved, what about the ungodly and sinners? It's a rhetorical question, because the answer is there. We know. We have to make a stand. We have to take a stand that we are not a part of the world, that we are on God's side, and we have to make a clean cut with the world. And that means I don't watch certain television programs. I don't go to the movies, because I'd have to put earplugs in. I'd have to put a sack over my head to come out, because I wouldn't want anyone to see me. And I ask the question, well, why does Hollywood make garbage movies over and over again? Why is our television so horrible that we cannot even let our children watch television? We have to censor it. The reason is, that is what the world wants. And as long as the world demands it, that is what Hollywood and the productions and pornography and everything else that we see that is involved with the world, which is a part of the world, abortion, gay marriage, you name it. That's what the world wants in general. And it will continue to exist. But we as Christians are going to be radical. We're going to be hated by the world. And we're going to make a clean break with the world. And I'm asking you this morning, have you made that break with the world? Clear cut. Not one foot in the church and one foot in the world. It's not possible. It's not acceptable to God. I cannot answer for you, but I firmly believe that we, if we're going to survive and be the Lord's church, we have to be radical, and the world will hate us. And that is exactly the way it was when the scriptures were written, when God penned the scriptures through the apostles and through the other writers. He made it very clear. We are a unique people. And if we're going to go down that straight and narrow way, there's a lot of difference between us on the straight and narrow way than those who are going down the broad way. If you're subject to the invitation, would you come as we stand and sing for your encouragement? Jesus.